The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Nothing perfect or consistent, but we're so damn good. It's the story of your life. You're moving down the page, and you know you're on your way. The story of your life. You live it every day. You can run, you run, but you won't get away. Go alone, what's coming up? Where will you go now? It's the story.
Morning, Glory America, and good Friday to you, Hugh Hewitt. Here on your weekend opening, I'll give you the rundown, I'll give you the news, I'll give you everything you need to know. A couple of notes at the beginning. AskAHost.com. We're getting close to AskAHost.com. If you head over there, you can sign up for my event, which is going to occur on, what day is mine going to occur? March 6th. And you have to go to AskAHost.com. They will run out of tickets, AskAHost.com. And I'm personally inviting you, come join me. Invite is reserved. And it's a round table. It's open. Lots of people line up at the events that we do. Sent a note last night to Dan Nelson, who runs Salem Events. I said, hey, Dan, I've been locked up since March of last year. After the second dose in March, I'm ready to go in April. I think I should go to Cleveland whenever the Indians are there. The tribe's going to allow 30% of the fans. The lower bowl's going to fill up. I'll be vaccinated. I'll still wear the mask. It makes people feel better. It doesn't bother me. But I'll be vaccinated, ready to go to the Indians game, ready to come to Cleveland. I suggested Cleveland and Louisville, Atlanta, Tampa Bay, you know, places where I haven't been in a while, where there are great morning drive audiences. Time to get there and tell you the news. Also want you to know a brand new podcast has dropped. Hugh Hewitt, The Interview with Andrew Roberts. I'll play you a little bit of that in a little bit. Andrew Roberts is the, I think, greatest popular historian at work today. And we sat down for the interview and talk long-form interview. It's available at Spotify, Apple, everywhere. I'll get you some cuts. But first, let me do the rundown. The U.S. launched airstrikes against Iranian-backed groups in Syria last night. Times of Israel headline, U.S. strikes Iran-backed fighters in Syria in first military action under Biden. John Kirby, retired admiral, is back as Pentagon press secretary for President Biden. And this is in retaliation for a rocket attack last week in Iraq that killed one U.S. civilian contractor and hurt many others. And that's good. There's no damage assessment. Doesn't say whether Khatib Hezbollah and Khatib Saeed al-Shahuda were badly hurt. But the fact that Joe Biden used force is a good sign. The message. They were testing. He responded. Good for him. Democrats are moaning and groaning this morning. They're very upset. The Senate parliamentarian told us what we all knew, that the $15 minimum wage does not qualify under Senate reconciliation rules, the Byrd rule. So now they can't get a $15 minimum wage. Now, mind you, there is a bill by Romney and Cotton. Senators Romney and Cotton have both sponsored a bill that will raise the federal minimum wage, which is at $7.15, to $10 if you couple it with E-Verify. States get it if they adopt E-Verify. Great bill. Get 60 votes for it. Democrats don't want the bill. They want the issue. It's like the Dreamers and and building the wall. There are deals to be done everywhere. 60 votes to be had on everything. They don't want the bills. They don't want to make people's lives better. They want the issue to drive the redistricting election. They're afraid they're going to get smoked in 2 years when the new lines come out for Congress. And they are going to get smoked in 2 years because of crazy laws, you know, like $15 minimum wage that would kill jobs, thousands of jobs. So the New York Times headline is top Senate official disqualifies minimum wage from stimulus plan. Now, about this reconciliation stimulus plan, $1.9 trillion. Fake news alert. Maeve Reston, CNN. Headline, congressional Republicans risk backlash as they unite against Biden's COVID relief plan. Now, I don't think they risk anything. So where are they getting this from? Well, they've got here a Quinnipiac University poll that says 7 in 10 Americans support the $1.9 trillion bill. If I spilled coffee on it, it would be a better article because then I couldn't read much of it. It's just a nonsense piece of propaganda. Congressional Republicans risk backlash. Honest to goodness. Do you know that in this bill that is beginning to study, Forbes pointed out yesterday, there's a little line on page 301 or section 301. It's for federal employees. It provides federal employees with kids who are out of school with up to $21,000 by September 30th. Only federal employees get a hardship deal of $21,000 max if they got a kid out of school and they have to stay home and take care of them. They get 600 hours of paid time, federal employees. You getting that? That's the Democrats' idea of COVID relief. By the way, little non-controversy yesterday. Leader McConnell was on Fox News with Brett Baer, gets asked, what if Donald Trump is the nominee in 2024? Here's the leader's response, cut 9.
Well, there's a lot to happen between now and 24. I've got at least 4 members that I think are planning on running for president, plus some governors and others. There's no incumbent. Should be a wide open race and fun for you all to cover.
If the president was the party's nominee, would you support him?
The nominee of the party? Absolutely.
So you see, Mitch McConnell understands parties, and so many of our teeny bopper journalists who are 18 and decided to skip USC, go right to, you know, USC is the hair part and the makeup part. And then they're going straight into news and they don't understand that parties, you always support the party nominee. They don't understand that Brett Baer launched Donald Trump's 2016 campaign when he asked in the first question on the first debate, raise your hand if you'll support the party nominee, which is not a good question to ask. And Brett's only mistake in a long career of near perfection. And the only one was Trump in the middle. The former president, who was then just the businessman, looked up and down the aisle and saw everyone raise their hand. So he immediately kept his hand down to differentiate, and he was off to the races. Mitch McConnell's a party guy and understands you always support the nominee. Maybe not as much or as little, but you always support the party nominee. He's not going to get in a fight with Donald Trump right now before CPAC. He said what he had to say. He's done. The left exploded in outrage. Don't buy it. You'll get a hero's welcome in CPAC. That doesn't mean anything either. Mike Pompeo's going to get a hero's welcome. Tom Cotton's going to get a hero's welcome. Ron DeSantis is going to get a hero's welcome. Kristi Noem's going to get a hero's welcome. 2024 is a long way away. It's a very broad party. Everybody is in the party. And we are now going to accept Mr. Potato Head into the party. He's been thrown out of Hasbro. I'm reading from the Wall Street Journal. Mr. Potato Head isn't going away. Meet the new Potato Head family. Hasbro is dropping the Mr. from the brand name and rolling out an inclusive family toy set, but we'll keep Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head characters. Now, this was a big Twitter deal yesterday where Mr. Potato Head was degendered for a while. Spuds to that, said the public. They want a Mr. Potato Head and a Mrs. Potato Head. And so Hasbro was backing up just, again, where do they get these ideas? I know we have a wildly successful toy that is sold for 5 generations or 5 decades of kids who like, for whatever reason, Mr. Potato Head and Mrs. Potato Head, and they're in Toy Story 1, 2, 3, 4, which are watched basically on endless loop with my grandkids who are under 5. And That's all they see is Mr. Potato Head and the army men who've been banned because I don't know why. They're gone. And, you know, Woody, Buzz Lightyear, they're all in there. The easiest toy in the world to sell is Mr. Potato Head. So Hasbro, because they're really bright, say, let's degender Mr. Potato Head. Roll that out. DoorDash thinks that people are going to continue to use them after COVID. You bet you. Coronavirus is plotting a comeback, according to the New York Times. I'm not worried because the vaccine numbers are great. People are getting vaccinated. Benjamin Netanyahu cut a great, great COVID vaccination. 68 million vaccines. Thank you, Operation Warp Speed. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Donald Trump and everyone who worked all last year to get this vaccine ready. They're rolling out. Guess what? There's enough of it now to give it to CVS, and they know how to distribute it. But the bad news, Washington Post headline, unprecedented number of students have disappeared during the pandemic. Schools are working harder than ever to find them. They've lost these kids because of the selfish teachers' unions. Unselfish teachers, selfish teacher unions. Kids are missing. We'll lose them forever because they wouldn't go to work in a safe school. Unbelievable. Don't go anywhere, America. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. A 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. The fact is, the internet never forgets. There has never been a more important time to protect your internet activity, your digital data. That's why I urge you to get ExpressVPN. Everything you search for, watch, or click online can be tracked back to you by big tech companies, and they do it. They match your activity to your true identity using your device's unique IP address. That's why you need to switch, and I switch, to ExpressVPN. On your computer, on your phone, every IP address is masked by a secure VPN server, which makes it harder for websites to identify me. Plus, you can use ExpressVPN on up to 5 devices simultaneously. That's why they're rated the number one VPN by CNET and Wired. So stop handing over your data to big tech companies. Go with the VPN I trust for online protection. Visit expressvpn.com/Hewitt to get 3 months free on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/Hewitt to get 3 extra months for free. Go to expressvpn.com/Hewitt right now to learn more. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. Thanks so much for listening to the program today. Boy, markets had a wild ride yesterday. Let me bring you a market update brought to you by Birch Gold. Birch Gold, great sponsor of the program. They tell you every single day, if you will simply text my name, Hugh, 474747, how to start a 401k or an IRA with a portion of your existing 401k IRA in physical metals. And it's a great day because gold took a dip like everything else yesterday. Big sell-off everywhere. It's down to $1,760. That's the best entry point in months. $1,760 an ounce for gold. So all you need to do is head over to Birch Gold. You can do that at HughGold.com, HughGold.com, or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. Why? Because the Dow went down 559 points yesterday. That's 1.75%. The NASDAQ got slaughtered, profit-taking, 478 points. That's 3.5%. The S&P went down 96. Now, overseas this morning, that route continued. Japan was off 4%. Hong Kong was off 3.5%. Germany down 0.4%. England down 0.81%. I don't know what will happen. That's such a big sell-off, I think. Look, I am neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet. I now own two stocks. I actually own two stocks now. I bought some Palantir because I've had dinner with Peter Thiel, and I think he's really smart. So it's not a lot. Mostly I own Amazon and mutual funds and gold and real estate. I'm 65 years old. I'm diversified. I'm not a dummy. I'm not playing over at Robinhood with GameStop. That's a fool's game. But I always tell you the truth. And so I tell you, I used to have one stock, Amazon, and I've held it for years. And now I have two stocks, some Palantir, which is a 10-year purchase or a 15-year purchase. And I just put it in there because I like Peter Thiel. I think he's smart. And I know that all the government people are using it. It's a sneaky spy on everybody technology that assembles data and predicts who are bad guys, and the government's using it. So gold, though, is neither sneaky nor hard to understand. The 10-year Treasury zoomed up yesterday to 1.52%. Now, friends, I have been warning you. I have been telling you the 10-year Treasury was going to go up, and yesterday it did. 1.52. Remember, it was 0.6% 9 months ago. And you're going to have a harder time getting a home loan at 3% now, but it's still ridiculously low, and home rates won't go up that much, but don't wait any much longer. Go over to andrewandtodd.com. So do two things for me this weekend, just two things. Go buy some gold or investigate gold. Figure out how to roll over some of your IRA. 10% is what I recommend. By texting your name, my name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 474747. And do that this weekend. Just get the information kit, or you can go to HughGold.com and then head over to AndrewandTodd.com and start the refi. You get money out of your house and you can refi, you can diversify the money. Even if you're not doing anything else, get all the, you know, just be diversified. Don't be a dummy. Now, I do want to play for you Mike Pompeo on Fox with Laura Ingraham last night after it was announced that Joe Biden ordered the first dropping of bombs on bad guys in Syria. Cut number 7, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo.
Well, you've got to protect your force. You've got to establish deterrence. We did this a couple times. It was effective. I don't know what they struck or what targets they went after. I hope it just wasn't bombs in the desert. I hope it really went after something that threatened the United States of America. If not, it's useless. You don't need to get bogged down there to take an airstrike. I'm confident that we could do it with getting in and getting out.
That is exactly right. So good for Secretary Pompeo. He is speaking at CPAC this weekend. Tom Cotton, Ron DeSantis, former President Trump. Going to have a lot of fun in Florida this weekend. And all the networks are relieved because they can cover Trump again. Nobody wants to watch the Joe Biden video. Oh, I've got Joe Biden audio. I don't want to play it because it's really boring. But they'll all be down there for Trump. They'll all be down there for Mike Pompeo and Tom Cotton and Ron DeSantis and Kristi Noem and everybody else. Stay tuned, America. More coming up on the Hugh Hewitt Show.
There was a time a long, long time ago. Chevys and Levis played on the radio. No cell phones, just 20,000 lights swaying on a Saturday night. All right.
Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. Today I dropped on the interview with Hugh Hewitt from the Salem Podcast Network. You can go to the salempodcastnetwork.com, or you can go to Apple Podcasts, or you can go to Spotify. I dropped the last interview I did with Christopher Hitchens. Now, the other ones were new. The first three, Stephen Pressfield, who wrote A Man at Arms. It's great. First one I let off with. Eric Metaxas just wrote Fish Out of Water. So I interviewed Eric for a long talk. Then Professor Andrew Roberts was my guest last week. And I dropped that one earlier this week. In fact, let me play a couple of clips of Andrew Roberts. I think he's the greatest British historian that the American public knows. Cut number 10. Well, there are two questions there. One, if your father was an Oxford man, how did you end up at Cambridge?
Because he was also at the same school I went to, which I was expelled from.
All right, why?
We're going into areas that I don't usually go into on radio shows, Hugh.
Well, this is the podcast and a radio show, and people, you can't leave that out on the table and then not take a nibble.
It was a combination, a potentially utterly disastrous combination of drinking and climbing.
Oh, what a surprise.
I used to get drunk and climb up buildings. And I think, quite rightly, the school thought that the sooner they got rid of me, the less likely they were going to be involved in some tragic disaster.
Now, I've done 25,000 interviews, but it's for moments like that, when you find out that the distinguished British historian and winner of many prizes and author most recently of a Winston Churchill biography and a Salisbury biography and a terrific number of books, The History of the English-Speaking People, expelled from secondary school for getting drunk and climbing up on the roof. That's what you live for in a podcast. Another bit of Andrew Roberts, cut number 11. Does he intrigue you as an individual about whom there will be a book like Salisbury written, a book like Lord Blake's Disraeli, a book like Your Napoleon, after a sufficient period of time? Is he interesting enough?
Yes, he most certainly is. Plus, he's hilarious.
There you go.
He's an extremely funny man. And the key thing is, of course, that it's going to be jolly difficult for any biographer to outdo his autobiography, because Boris is obviously going to bring out a autobiography one day, which will not only be a bestseller because he's been Prime Minister, but also because it's going to be a very engaging and well-written and funny book.
So, you know, when you talk to a historian, he's right. You have to wait until they're done writing their own stuff till they read it. One last cut from the podcast. It's called The Interview. It's available at Spotify. It's at Apple. The Eric Metaxas interview was terrific as well. Here it is with Andrew Roberts, cut 12. Why did that not happen to Churchill? Because Churchill himself had his own disastrous riot, correct?
Several of them. I'm wondering which one you're talking about. There were lots of disastrous riots.
When he was Home Secretary and he put down...
The Square one where the suffragettes got very badly treated when he was Home Secretary. If that's the one that you're thinking of, then... There are several others, obviously, and some pretty terrible moments in Ireland and India and so on. I wonder whether or not we, and maybe this has got something to do with social media, whether or not we are just concentrating more and more on denunciations and giving politicians less and less chance to make mistakes. Churchill made an awful lot of mistakes. Fortunately, they turned out to be minor ones compared to the major things that he got right. But I wonder whether or not we are sort of less forgiving now as an electorate than the.
That's a very interesting point. That's why one does long form interviews, and I think the one with Professor Andrew Roberts is tip top. It's only 37 minutes, but it was tip top. Today, we dropped the final interview I did with Christopher Hitchens. Now, I interviewed Hitch 70-plus times. And this was as he was dying, and we spent an hour and 46 minutes talking about his life. And I think if you didn't ever get to watch Hitch, and Hitch became a friend of mine. I dined in his home. He was my guest. We did a number of events together. He just became, but he was a friend of the world. That's not special. But what was special is, I said, hey, let's talk about your life for the entire show. And we've gone back and put that into one podcast. So I encourage you, go sign up. I'm not going to waste your time. Now I want to play for you, though, because Larry Arnn's going to be my guest. That's over it. You can go to SalemPodcastNetwork.com to get all of the Salem Host podcasts. Or you can go to Apple or Spotify and look for The Interview with Hugh Hewitt. Christopher Hitchens, Professor Andrew Roberts, sign up for that. Don't forget askahost.com as well. That's coming up a week from Saturday on Saturday night, March the 6th at 8 p.m. Ask a Host, limited number of tickets left for there. head over to askahost.com today to sign up for that. I did a story on Smith College yesterday. What a surprise. It was on the front page of the New York Times, so Tucker did it last night. Here's what he had to say.
$2 billion. Tuition there for a single year is more than $75,000 per year. So here's the question, and it's relevant now. Who has more privilege, the people of Springfield or the women of Smith College? You'd think that'd be an easy question. One place is famous for burned out buildings and murders. The other has wrought iron gates and its nationally known art museum on campus. So Smith has more privilege, correct? No, not correct. The ladies of Smith are oppressed. They're victims. And do you know who's oppressing them? The kind of people who live in Springfield. Now, we learned all of this recently from a Smith student called Umu Kanote. Kanote is an exotic name, but she has a resume that could only come from the most established kind of background. Kanote is from New York. She went to boarding school in Connecticut at a place called Westminster. Then she headed to Smith. The schools she attended charge more than the average American makes in a year. That sounds like the definition of privilege, doesn't it? But not so fast. Watch this tape from July 31st, 2018. This is the moment that Umu Kanote found out that she was oppressed.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
I was wondering why you were here.
Oh, I was eating lunch. I'm working the summer program, so I was just relaxing on the couch.
Oh, you just took a break?
No. Yeah.
So you're with one of the summer programs?
Yeah, I'm actually a TA. Okay.
So that's what it was.
All right.
He just said from the doorway, he didn't know what lunch is over with, so it's probably...
Yeah, I it's okay. It's just like kind of stuff like this happens way too often where people just feel like threatened.
So that's not a very interesting piece of tape, actually. Everyone's polite. Seems like some kind of misunderstanding. Nothing really happens. But later that night, Kanote posted a message to Facebook assessing what had happened. What you just saw, she said, was proof of vicious racial discrimination. Quote, all I did was be black. It's outrageous that some people question my being at Smith College and my existence overall as a woman of color, end quote. Kanote claimed that what you just saw was a racial attack. Not just against her, but against all people who look like her. Then she accused a cafeteria worker, a woman called Jackie Blair, of being a racist, even though Blair was not involved in the episode. Now, that story didn't make sense. None of it did. And yet institution after institution took her side over the side of an hourly worker, and they did so immediately. The ACLU claimed that Kanote had been singled out for, quote, eating while black. The media came to the same conclusion. A few days after that tape was shot, Kanote appeared on Good Morning America on ABC to explain that she doesn't feel safe at Smith anymore, even in its art gallery or botanical garden.
This young lady calls the entire situation outrageous, and she's sharing her story so that no other woman of color goes through what she went through.
I'm just so upset.
This is Umu Kanute. She's a sophomore at the college working as a teacher's assistant and residential advisor over the summer. She was confronted by campus police officers.
I see the cop walk in with a Smith employee whom I've never seen before. And the man asked me, we were wondering why you're here.
Kanute, still emotional over it all, says she was very nervous and overwhelmed after the incident.
It just still upsets me to just talk about it because I don't even feel safe on my own campus and I'm away from home. I'm the first in my family to go to college.
Well, in response to this, the president of Smith College, Kathleen McCartney, did not wait for an investigation to find out exactly what had happened. No, she moved against the person who made less immediately. She suspended the janitor the first day. Then she launched white accountability seminars to immediately reeducate and browbeat all white employees at Smith. But even as she singled out her colleagues on the basis of their skin color, McCartney declared in a statement that singling people out because of their skin color is wrong. And then she concluded with no evidence whatsoever that that is exactly what you saw in that tape. Quote, this painful incident reminds us of the ongoing legacy of racism and bias in which people of color are targeted while simply going about the business of their ordinary lives. But it didn't stop there. What happened next is documented at length in a recent piece in the New York Times. Here's a short version. Jackie Blair and the other employees who were falsely accused of racism by the school had their lives completely upended. Kanute posted Blair's name, her photograph, her email address on social media, and then called her a, quote, racist. Canote also published the name and photograph of a janitor who was not even involved in the episode. Then people showed up at Blair's home, threatening her, putting threatening letters in her mailbox. In the end, an investigation found no evidence of racism in this incident. But Smith effectively ignored the investigation and its results. Kathleen McCarthy, the president of the school, announced, quote, "It is impossible to rule out the potential role of implicit racial bias." In other words, the janitor, the cafeteria worker, the security guard can't prove they're not racist. They probably are, implicitly. Meanwhile, Kathleen McCarthy issued no public apology of any kind to the employees she had just slandered or suspended. Neither did Canote or the ACLU apologize. They claimed the workers targeted Canute for her skin color, and they kept claiming that. Consider this remarkable statement from a man called Rashawn Hall. He's both the racial justice director for the ACLU of Massachusetts and Canote's lawyer. Quote, "It's troubling that people are more offended by being called racist than by the actual racism in our society. Allegations of being racist, even getting direct mailers in their mailbox, is not on par with the consequences of actual racism." In other words, if you're falsely accused of racism and you don't like it, that's evidence you're racist, especially if you're a janitor. You could not find a more perfect distillation of the moment we are living through right now. Here we have, in Canote, one of the most privileged people on planet Earth telling us that she's being oppressed by her servants. And yet, rather than getting laughed out of the room or sent for a psych evaluation, all the other privileged people nod in vigorous agreement with her and start punishing the staff. We're going to look back at moments like this one in shame. The question is, why didn't anyone speak up while it was happening? At Smith, at least one woman did. Her name is Jody Shaw. She went to Smith. She worked there as a librarian. She loved the school. Smith planned to stay, but when woke politics became a racial caste system, a system in which students and teachers were favored or punished because of the way they look, she opted out.
Look, I told you all about this yesterday. That New York Times story has blown up Smith. I don't know that their college president can survive. I'm going to talk about that story and whether or not Hillsdale and other small colleges are caught in the same vise with Dr. Larry Arndt later. Tarzana Joe is next, America. Stay tuned. Joined now by the poet laureate of the Hugh Hewitt Show, Tarzana Joe. Hello, Joe.
Good morning, Hugh. How are you?
I am about to be vaccinated tomorrow, so I'm in great shape.
Oh, very good, very good. You're on the eve of vaccination and freedom. Well,
yes.
Maybe. We'll see. And here's today's poem. Our amazing House and Senate have been at it since last June, and the urgent legislation will be ready sometime soon. Oh, I'd love to be Alexa where they hold negotiations, but I know it's inappropriate to note appropriations. There'll be something for this lobby and something for that faction as the K Street Coalition tries to cash in on the action. But the thing I find so telling once you get above the guilt is they're printing all this money and nothing's getting built. Once you start the process, there just seems no way to end it. Soon you've minted so much coinage that there's no place you can spend it. This kind of drunken sailoring is now our country's pastime, so much so there's a tranche unspent that Congress passed the last time. Businesses are hurting. They need to do this faster. Good thing the Trump economy could handle this disaster. Instead of bringing water, they're simply yelling fire. The only thing they stimulate is everybody's ire. With citizens abandoned and grievances unheeded, could it be in Congress that new leadership is needed? That's Taking Out the Tranch by Tarzana Joe.
Taking Out the Tranch? That makes me blanch.
Oh, good. I'm pleased. It's what I go for every week.
You know, 20 years, I pick up a little bit of stuff. Joe, are you in the St. Patrick's Day poem creation mode?
Once again, trying to build the market for St. Patrick's Day poetry has not been a complete success.
All right, so we better go to weddings in April and May when the reopening of the... How about any reopening poetry commissioned yet?
No, graduations, which is kind of a reopening.
Oh, that's right. And, of course, we could, if people are going to go back to work sometime soon, like AMC, they could have a giant party. They could get a Tarzana Joe poem.
I'm working on a Where's My Stapler Now party, yes, poem.
TarzanaJoe@Reagan.com for all your poetry needs. His rates are reasonable. And this will be posted at TarzanaJoe.com today, I assume?
That is correct.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, you.
Couple other breaking news story. The Army, the United States Army, will allow female soldiers to wear ponytails. This is news to me that they weren't allowed to wear ponytails, but I am bringing that to you anyway. Also, and far more importantly, Paris. Paris, the city of lights, is going dark for 3 weeks. A three-week lockdown to bring infections back under control. The deputy Paris mayor said the city preferred a complete lockdown, arguing the strategy would ultimately pay off since it would allow the possibility of reopening everything after 3 weeks. 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. curfew in the cafes and restaurants of the capital. So let me tell you, the EU screwed up because they're anti-capitalist, they're anti-free market, they're pro-regulatory czardom in Brussels. They screwed up the purchase of the vaccine and the rollout of the vaccine completely, and they won't admit it. Great Britain and the United States are well on our way to opening up because of Operation Warp Speed in the United States and because of AstraZeneca in the United Kingdom. The three vaccines have also allowed Israel to open up after their holiday now. They're on holiday. They expect to completely reopen. Benjamin Netanyahu made a great video urging the recalcitrant to go get vaccinated so the whole country can go back to normal. The Team Biden hasn't done anything that Team Trump wouldn't have done, which is just wait for Moderna and Pfizer to get their production capacity up. And finally, the production capacity is big enough that they did the smart thing. They let CVS and Rite Aid distribute it, so it's now efficient. Why? Because they're used to scheduling people for appointments and picking up. I mean, anybody who gets any kind of pharmaceuticals knows you get like 55 texts, come pick up your drugs. They immediately got me scheduled. So Rite Aid, CVS is the way to go. And America will be up and running. The United Kingdom will be up and running. Paris and the EU, because they're government-driven, won't. And the places in the third world, they're talking about vaccine equity now. It's really free market equity. The more socialist and backwards a country is, the less likely it is to have the vaccine soon. They will depend upon the free markets of the world to send them. And we are sending lots of vaccine abroad, as is Israel, as is England. But the EU purposely screwed themselves. That's not in this story about Paris showing down, and it should be. It should be there. Why is Paris shutting down? Because Paris and the EU screwed it up. They purposely got into a fight with the United Kingdom, which had left the crazy EU. By the way, there's a big run on cement. They believe the Switzerland-based company Lafarge is predicting that the Biden stimulus of $2 trillion is going to mean cement everywhere. They're going to just randomly pour cement places. That's a Biden stimulus, just randomly pour cement some places and give the federal employees $21,000 each for time off if their student is at home. I'm not lying. That's in Forbes this morning. In the House version of the $1.9 trillion is $21,000 per federal employee if they have a student who's at home that they have to take care of because the schools are closed. So you see how it works? Teachers' unions causes schools to close, students stay home, and then the Democratic-run Congress gives the public employee unions that are working for the federal government $21,000 that the average American doesn't get whose student is also at home. That's big government. That's the Democrats. That's why CPAC is going to have a great time. If you want to ask me about any of this, by the way, go to askahost.com, askahost.com. Sign up for our small group therapy sessions. Small group therapy.